But God is who we're putting our faith and hope in. And amen, amen. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And as I do, we do each and every service. It's something that we do. It's just by recognition. If you have a prayer request this evening, just show by the raising of your hand or acknowledge where, however you feel comfortable. If you're driving, keep your hands on the wheel. But we just love the Lord this evening, and we're just going to lift it all up. For those that are sick, those that are shut in, those that aren't able to be with us for whatever reason, and we just know who they are. There's some that are in recovery. We're getting great reports on people that are being healed and the Lord is touching. And there are those that are still struggling, and we know God is with you. And we're going to be praying for you tonight. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we praise and worship you this evening. Dear Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you've given us, dear Lord, to gather in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, for everyone that's listening tonight, dear Lord, or at a later date on this live feed, Lord, I ask for your blessings to be upon them, upon their family, dear Lord, that your protection will be on those that are traveling, those that are out of town. Lord, that you will place your mighty hands, dear Lord, and just wrap us in your arms, dear Lord, in Jesus, and just keep us safe. Lord, as this storm comes through, dear Lord, those that have already been affected by it, those that are being affected by it right now, Lord, I ask for you to strengthen them. And, dear Lord, may they turn to you and seek you and the guidance, and, dear Lord, in all the situations in this storm. Lord, for those that are fighting the fires out west, dear Lord, for all the situations. And, dear Lord, for those that are sick now, dear Lord, there's so many being diagnosed with an illness, dear Lord. There's so many that's going through troubles in their life, dear Lord. Those that have lost loved ones. And, dear Lord, we're asking you now, dear Lord, and we're presenting them in your hands. Dear Lord, by faith, we're releasing it to you. Lord, we thank you for your provisions, Lord, for a roof over our head, for shoes on our feet, for the food that you put on our table. And, dear Lord, if there's any in the sound of this message, dear Lord, that it does not have, Lord, may you just put them in the right path, dear Lord. Protect them, guide them, dear Lord, and just give them the peace. Again, dear Lord, we thank you for this evening. You've blessed our church so much, dear Lord. We ask now that you'll bless our pastor and his family, strengthen them, all the ministries that's going forth. And, dear Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. We've got a message to let y'all know. We're planning on, well, we'll have service this Sunday morning. We're going to have Sunday school and our church service this Sunday morning, which will be November 1st. It's hard to believe that November's already here. So that'll be this Sunday morning. We'll be opening our doors again and be looking forward to the Lord. If you feel uncomfortable coming, and I know Brother Eddie he'll give us his view on what will be done Sunday. But if you have any doubt or fear in your health, you have any symptoms, you know what to do. Just take care of yourself. But we will be open for corporate service, and we're just excited about that. Well, right now we're going to sing one of my favorites that I love to do. And if you know this song by heart, they've got the words up on the screen, and we sure do thank Brother Greg and all the technology that's gone forth, Brother Art, all those that are involved. And we're going to be singing Redeemed tonight, so you're going to get to hear all three of us. So praise the Lord. Sweet is the song I'm singing today. I'm redeemed, trouble and sorrow have vanished away.
Yes, Lord.
I'm redeemed. I'm
Lamb in glory someday shall be.
You're able to sing that song with that, with just that assurity in your heart that because of Jesus Christ and that precious blood that He shed, and because of His resurrection, that He is alive and well today at the right hand of God, that you can sing that song with authority, with just knowing of that assurance. And if you don't know, this is the perfect time to give your life to the Lord. So right now we're going to turn it over to Sister Penny and Brother Eddie. They've got a couple of songs to raise. Y'all enjoy the service. If you have a prayer request, please put it in the comments. And if just enjoy the service tonight, be with us. Turn off all the devices that distract you and just enjoy. Just praise God. Let's give Him all the glory. Amen.
It's my desire to live for Jesus. It's my bring Him much shame. It's my desire to live for Him. If you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, you would know the reason why love Him so. Now you can take this world's wealth and riches. I don't need a thing. It's my desire to live for Him. It's my desire to help someone today, someone who may have failed to see the way. I too once was lost, but I found my way to God. It's my desire to live for.
Certainly my desire to live for the Lord. been so good and gracious to me all of my life. Amen. And I'm so thankful, and I count it an honor and a privilege, amen, to be able to live for the Lord. And I'm so thankful that He abides within our hearts. I'm going to sing a song tonight, a very old, old song. And every time I sing this song, I'm reminded of the origin of the church here in Villarica, First Pentecostal Church, when we first started. My granddaddy came down from Rockmart to start a church here in Villarica. We did not have a place to have church, so we began to have church out in the yard of my great-granddaddy's house. And I remember the men, I was just very, very young at the time, but the men would go down to the back of his house in the edge of the woods, and they would take up a rock, and they'd go down, and they'd put a rock there in a pile, and they started that little pile and called it an altar, and they would pray before every night service that we had. And the Lord was just as real out there under the stars as He was in any sanctuary. So when I sing this song tonight, I kind of reminisce a little bit, and it's called My Altar. I remember days when saints would gather in their little humble cabins in the hills. They had no fancy pews or pretty altars. They made their altar anywhere they found to kneel. Upon the mountain high, close to God's big sky, anywhere on God's green earth I chance to trot, anywhere I'd bow my knee. Well, it's a sacred place to me. I find my altar anywhere I talk to God. Well, I don't have to find a pretty chapel or a temple that reaches to the sky, and I don't have to kneel in the church house. I find my altar anywhere I talk to God. Upon the mountain high, God's big sky, anywhere on God's green earth I chance to trot, anywhere I'd bow my knee. Well, it's a sacred place to me. I find my altar anywhere I talk to God. Now I don't have to find a pretty chapel or a temple that reaches to the sky, and I don't have to kneel in the church house. I find my altar anywhere I talk to God. Upon the mountain high, close to God's big sky, anywhere on God's green earth I chance to trot, anywhere I'd bow my knee. Is a sacred place to me. I find my altar anywhere I talk to God. Amen. Anywhere I can talk to God is an altar to me. I'm going to ask my wife, Sister Penny, if she would, just to give a brief testimony as I get prepared to bring the word tonight.
I thank the Lord for everything that He has done for me, for giving us just a beautiful world to live in. I thank Him for keeping us safe from any harm, from all the sickness that's going on. He has spared our family, and I just thank Him so much for that. And just looking for Him to do great things with us this coming Sunday. I can't wait to get back in church with everybody, and I'm just excited about that.
Amen. Praise God. Looking forward, amen, to seeing so many of our precious brothers and sisters. Amen. A big shout out to each and every one of you. Hope that you're doing well on this Wednesday night. Amen. Hope you're being blessed. Those of you that are sick and afflicted, we're continuing to pray for you. You're in our thoughts and our prayers and certainly in our hearts, and we miss seeing you tremendously. One of these days, amen, we're going to a place where there'll be no more sickness, no sadness, no sorrow. Praise God, no more death. What a glorious place that's going to be. And the signs of the time are certainly pointing to that soon coming of the Lord. And that's nothing to be alarmed about. That's something to look up. And the Bible says, for our redemption draweth nigh. Unless you're not born again, unless you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then that should be a warning to each and every one of us. But today is the day of salvation. And my God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is reaching out to each and every one of you that you can come unto Him and have a relationship, be born again, have the precious blood of Jesus applied to your life. As Brother Jim has already said, we are opening up for corporate worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock. So come and be with us if you are able. If you're uncomfortable, we certainly understand. We have seemingly taken every precaution that we are encouraged to do so by those experts who tell us what we need to do to prepare. We have cordoned off the pews so that you will not be sitting close to one another. It'll be social distancing in church. We have a little stand which has the necessary hand sanitizers and masks if you want to wear masks. So if you're feeling well and you're comfortable, please come and be with us in corporate worship, looking for a great time in the Lord. And I believe that God will protect us and God will be with us. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to go to the book of Psalms, the writing of David, as the Lord has dealt with me this week concerning David. And David probably is one of my all-time favorite characters of the Old Testament. A lot has been made of David and his exploits. A lot of songs have been written and penned from the words, the eloquent words that David used in the Psalms, and how he could melodiously put together a line that just blessed and anointed and not only blessed those that were in that time, but it's for ages and generations on, we've been able to rejoice over the words that David penned. But tonight I want to go to the 27th Psalm and read the first five verses of Psalms 27. In the 27th Psalm of David, verses 1 through 5, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for another opportunity, God, that You've given us tonight to gather together. Father, I pray Your anointing and I pray Your blessing. God, ask You, Lord, to anoint these lips of clay. God is nothing more than a vessel, just an oracle, God, that You might speak to our hearts, God, that You might encourage us with Your Word. And Father, we do remember those who are sick. Many are suffering and afflicted tonight. And Father, we pray, God, that through Your healing power right now, You would reach out and touch them and anoint them, strengthen them. God, send healing to those, Lord, who need a touch from You right now. Those in the hospitals, Father, I pray right now, God, that they would feel Your healing power. God, I pray, Lord, that You would be with those who are traveling. Many are on the road, God, and I pray for their protection. God, we also pray for those who are lost and undone tonight. There's so many, Lord, who need a touch from you, Lord, and need a relationship with you, God. And I pray that you would send your convicting power, your love, God, to prick their hearts and bring them to an altar of repentance. And, Lord, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. And we will ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you again. Tonight, just for a little while, I want to bring a message entitled, In the House of the Lord. In the House of the Lord. David here penned something. He said that this one thing that I have desired, and that is to dwell in the house of the Lord. Amen. All the days of my life. Now, that's a wonderful statement, and that's a wonderful desire. But we know physically it was impossible for David to dwell in the tabernacle or in the sanctuary. We read through his writings that constantly he was there in the sanctuary. He made it a point to be there as much as he possibly could. Sometimes it may have been on a daily basis. Many times when he was the king, and people would come against him through in his own kingdom or the enemies that would come around, he would find himself there in the sanctuary asking guidance and direction from God in the sanctuary. He loved being in the sanctuary of the Lord. But I believe the more that you read this particular psalm, David was not necessarily referring to the physical sanctuary as much as he loved it, as much as he loved the house of the Lord. In fact, Hebrew, the Greek definition tells us it means in the presence of the Lord. And as I read that and as I began to study this week, I began to think, Lord, let me never ever take for granted the honor and the privilege it is to dwell in the presence of Almighty God. Through adversity, through storms, through situations, things that come in our life, things that we face on a daily basis, that if I had not had the opportunity to dwell in the presence of the Lord, they would be too devastating, too overpowering, and too overwhelming for me to be able to endure during this lifetime. But I learned a long, long time ago that God will never leave us nor forsake us. He's there with us through every problem, situation, and thing that may arise in our life. And what a wonderful privilege it is to be in the presence of the Lord. We find that David began to write some things about that are characteristics of being in the house of the Lord. And tonight when I begin to speak about the house of the Lord, I want you to understand that I'm not necessarily referring to the material structure, although it is a wonderful place to be. I can find comfort. Not only do I feel the presence of God when I come into the sanctuary, the physical sanctuary, but I also feel the love, amen, of the saints of God who have gathered together. And we pray one for another. And we have that fellowship and that brotherhood and that wonderful time of just gathering together to worship and praise the Lord. But David began to write some characteristics of having or abiding or living in the presence of the Lord. And he learned at a very, very early age that he depended on God. And we want to get to that in just a moment. But right now, if I could, I want to just read just a few of those characteristics. The first thing that David mentioned, he said, the Lord is my light. And I want to remind us tonight that there is light in the presence of the Lord. Many, many times in the Bible it refers to before there was a relationship with the Lord, that there was a spiritual darkness, that we walked as one not having the light, in gross darkness, as we just mentioned just not long ago in a message that we had brought, that the Lord had laid upon our heart. But in a presence of the Lord, in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is not just to know about Jesus, but it's to know Jesus personally and to know Him intimately and to invite Him into your life, into your heart, and into your soul as both Lord and Savior. And when we do that, there is light. And we need light in this spiritual darkness world that each and every one of us are made to endure on a daily basis. I need the light of the Lord. And I find that in a true relationship with the Lord. I can find that even in the darkest times of my life, I can turn to the presence of God. And He begins to illuminate that relationship. How does He do that? With assurance that He'll never leave us. So the assurance that He is there with us all the time. He's not only a God of the good times, He's a God of the bad times as well. Amen. The God of the mountain is still the God in the valleys. And certainly with a relationship
relationship, it gives us light. Light to understand the Word of God. So many people have approached me over my time of pastoring, and especially young converts in the, who have just begun a relationship with the Lord, and they have such an excitement and an energy to read the Word of God and to be empowered with His Word. And many, many times they'll say, Brother Eddie said, you know, some of the things I don't understand when I open up the Word of God, and I have to read it over and over and over, and I don't really understand. And I always encourage them the same way that I was encouraged when I was going through the same situation. Because sometimes I'd open up the Bible and I'd be so confused, and I was trying to glean from it because I wanted to learn more of the Word of God. And sometimes it would just be very, very confusing to me. And a very wonderful mentor once told me, he said, before you open up the Word of the Lord, get on your knees and begin to pray for the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Ask the Spirit of the Lord to lead you and to guide you and to open up your understanding. And let me know, it was not nearly as much to do with the quantity as it was of the quality. If they have to read a scripture over two or three times, read it, amen, until the light goes on or the light comes on. And I will assure you, if you'll ask the leadership of the Holy Ghost, then go to the Word of the Lord, the Spirit of God will enlighten you and open up the meaning of the Word of God. So there is light of the salvation in the presence of the Lord. And that's the next thing that David mentions there. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Can I remind us tonight that the only salvation is in the precious Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, there is none other name given under heaven whereby a man must be saved than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God sent His Son to bleed and to die on the cross of Calvary, not only to bleed and die, but to be buried and come out of that tomb as resurrected Savior. And David realized that his relationship with God was his salvation. David was a powerful king. David was an anointed king. But David always put all of his faith and trust in a relationship with God. And he knew he could never make it without the help of God. So he understood that there is salvation in the presence of the Lord. Those two things alone would be plenty enough to let us know that we need a relationship with the Lord, that we need to be in the presence of God. Now, when I'm saying in the presence of God, I'm not just saying visit Him on Sunday. I'm saying invite Him in to be every day of our life. Couldn't make it through the week if I didn't have a relationship with the Lord. I couldn't make it through the trials if I wasn't living in the presence of God. I couldn't handle what's going on right now if it wasn't for the presence of God. But when it seems like I've had all that I can stand and I can't stand anymore, I can rely on the presence of God to give me that calmness and that reassurance that He won't leave me. And then another thing that he says, there is strength, or it is the strength of my life. So many times we fail to take advantage of the strength of the Lord. We as human beings, it's kind of in our DNA to try to do everything on our own. And only then, after we fail continuously, will we try to turn to help or to ask somebody else to help us. And unfortunately, we do that in the Christian world as well. We'll try to work situations out. We'll worry. We'll fret. We'll try to fix things when the Lord says, I am your strength. And David realized that, because there was a lot of times that even though David was a king, even though that David was mighty, and even though David had many, many people under him, and he had power and authority, it was not uncommon to find David on his knees asking the Lord, help me, Lord. Help me. Help me to understand. Purge the things that out of my life and out of my heart that are not godly, God, and fill them in with your Spirit, your guidance, and your knowledge. So David realized that the Lord is our strength. And then he mentions another thing that is very, very important to us. There is no fear in the house of the Lord. Brother Eddie, what are you talking about? There is no fear in the presence of God. God is not about fear. God is the total opposite of fear. And if we put our faith and trust in God, now fear is one thing. Concern is one thing. But fear is very, very different. I may be concerned over situations, but I should not fear. As long as I'm in the presence of God, as long as His Spirit is within me. Amen. And I thank God for a relationship that Jesus Christ loved us enough to send back the Holy Spirit to be within us. And He tells us, and we have to remind ourselves so many times, He says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We've got power. Power over all of these different things. Power over all of these evils that come against us. Power to even rebuke the adversary in the name of Jesus Christ. So we do have that power that causes us not to live in constant fear. And then there's something else that he mentions. He said, the beauty of the Lord. The beauty of the Lord. Sister Penny and I and myself, we love to look at nature, and especially this time of the year. And we'll even travel sometimes to try to see the changing of the leaves. And on Facebook now, a lot of people that are traveling all over this nation and some of the places where the leaves have already turned, and they put these beautiful, beautiful pictures. And I love that. And somebody started just posting pictures, said, you don't have to say anything, just post a picture. And some of the most beautiful pictures. And I thought as I was going through those this week, you know, God, you painted all of that. You painted that with your wonderful brush, amen, and the beautiful, the majesty of the trees and the waters and the oceans and the brooks that are babbling down over the rocks, and all of that is beautiful and wonderful that God has given us and blessed us to be able to live and abide in a beautiful world. But even more beautiful than that is in the presence of God. It's something that I don't even have the vocabulary to explain or to extend to you the greatness and the wonderful feeling it is to know that it is a beautiful thing to know that Jesus died for me, that Jesus lives within me, and that I'm never alone. Whatever I face, I always have His presence with me. And to me, that is the most beautiful thing in the world. The Spirit of the Lord is so beautiful. It's so wonderful. And David realized that, and he included that in one of the things that comes with being or living or existing in the presence of God. He goes on to describe that there is safety in times of trouble, basically saying that He will hide me in His pavilion, in the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. In other words, the safety of the Lord through all of the turmoil, all the strife, and all of the adversity that's taken place. If we have a relationship with Jesus, His wings will cover us and He will hide us and keep us safe from all of these things. And David acknowledged that, having a relationship or being in the house or the presence of the Lord. And finally, he talks about the victory. There is victory in the house of the Lord. I'm so thankful that we have victory. One of the songs that we sing here at First Pentecostal so much is Victory in Jesus. Because if victory in anything else is probably not going to be very long, lasting very long. But when we have victory in Jesus, we have ultimate victory. We have victory over everything. We have victory over every problem, over the sin that was in our life. When Jesus comes in and cleanses us, we got victory in the name of Jesus. Amen. That glorious, wonderful, precious name that we can have a relationship with. So David describes all of these things, and he says, the one thing that I have desired of the Lord. And I thought about that. Thought about that statement that David made. And, you know, David was known as a man after God's own heart, meaning that God really loved David. Now, David fell. David sinned. But God didn't quit loving him. David knew how to repent. He came with a broken and contrite spirit, and God forgave him. But I thought a man that was known as a man after God's own heart probably could have had most of what his heart would desire. If he had desired wealth and riches, which the Lord had already blessed him with, God probably would have blessed him. But God honored his request when David said, the one thing that I have desired, The one thing over all of the wealth in this land, the one thing over all of the popularity or things that are in this world that are so enticing to the flesh, David stood up and said, no, the one thing that I desire is to dwell in the house of the Lord, meaning in the presence of the Lord, all the days of my life. Every day, every single day, I want to dwell in the presence of the Lord. I've often said if the only place I could ever feel the presence of the Lord was inside these four walls, I don't think I'd ever leave. I'd have to have my food brought in and I would stay here. But as the song that I sang, I don't have to kneel in the church house. I don't even have to find a pretty chapel or a temple that reaches to the sky. I can find the house of God when I kneel on my knees and talk to Him wherever I may be, in my car, at work, at home, outside, wherever it is. I can talk to the Lord and I can have that relationship. And I'm so thankful that we can enjoy that wonderful, wonderful opportunity of being and living and existing in the presence of the Lord. Now, another thing that has been on my heart and on my mind this week for some unexplained reason is what David used when he fought Goliath. And I just asked the Lord, time and time again, I said, Lord, what is it? What is it that I need to see? I went back and I read the story, and I read it over and over and over, and I went to some different references, and I tried to find some significance of the rocks. And you know what? It's like Daddy said, opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. So all of these books and all of these things that I did research on and all, they all had these different opinions of the significance of the rock, the significance of the staff, and how that David and the sling. But the five stones and a sling, five stones and a sling. I found out that there was even some songwriters who had wrote some songs concerning five stones or five rocks and a sling. And I thought about that, and I began to read again. I began to ask, Lord, just, you know, lead me in. And you know, if we go back, when David was bringing some food to his brothers, he began to kind of approach the valley that was between the Israelites and the Philistines. And there was no battle. There was no fighting. They were both just standing there. They were arrayed, in other words, ready for battle, but never had begun the battle. And the champion of the Philistines, Goliath, was standing there in the valley, and he was challenging whoever would come out. You know the story, how that he challenged the Israelites, send me out your best, and we'll fight against him and all. And nobody could, even King Saul would not go. David's older brothers would not go. And the army of Israel were almost kind of shuddering because they had nobody to go out and fight. And David walks up, and he's still just a young boy, and he says, I'll go out and I'll fight him. And first Saul says, no way, his brothers get on to him. But David said, no, I'll do it. You know, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And I'll go in the name of the Lord. And so Saul finally consents to it, and he tries to dress him in his armor. Well, it doesn't work. First of all, it's probably three or four sizes too big. But David tries to go in it, and he says, I can't do this. I can't go in this because I have not proved it. Amen. So David goes back to something that is familiar with him, something that he has proved. That's the presence of God. So when I was trying to find the significance of the five stones and the sling, really the significance is the presence of God. Because if David had took the five stones and the sling and his staff and went out to fight Goliath and left the presence of God, David would have just been one more victim of Goliath. So God just uses what we have to offer. But the one thing that I did find out that David prepared, and I cannot express to us tonight the significance that we prepare. How do we prepare? In God's Word. Studying the Bible. Studying, getting direction from Him. Getting those stones in our little shepherd's bag. You know, we may not need all five of them. Somebody said, well, it was because he didn't have enough faith. I don't think it was that. Somebody else said, well, it's because Goliath had four brothers. I don't know what the situation was. I just believe that's probably all the shepherd bag would hold, because the shepherd's bag was nothing more more than just a little lunch bag that's hung over his shoulder, and probably 5 stones is all he could put in there. If it held 6, he'd probably put 6. Amen? How many of us walk around with an empty shepherd bag, and then we try to fight that battle, and we got nothing to fight him with, and we say, God, where are you? We fail to prepare. So that is the significance, I think, because David said, it's not my sling, it's not my stone, it's not my staff, but you're coming to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. Amen. And God guided that stone, I believe, with all of my heart. And that causes David to reminisce. And he's thinking now, as he's grown man, and he's over a kingdom, and he begins to write these things. You know what, Lord? The one thing that I desire in my life, and he had a lot of things. He got a lot of things to be thankful for. But out of all of that, the one thing that I desire is a relationship with you, is to dwell in the house of the Lord, meaning to dwell in the presence of the Lord. And you know, something like that is what David calls David to write probably, if not the one of the most inspirational verses or chapters in the Bible. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This one thing that I have desired, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. When my life here on earth is finished, there's maybe not a bunch of accolades or things or exploits that can be attributed to my name or to my life. I think the greatest thing that could ever be said over a person is that he dwelled in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. Amen. Because what the Lord has in store for those that live for him down there is beyond our ability to fathom or comprehend. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that the Lord has prepared for them. May God bless you. We love you. We wish we could see you. Amen. You have an advantage. You get to see us, and we don't get to see you sometimes, but our hearts and thoughts go out to you, and we just love each and every one of you. And as we prepare to pray tonight, I ask you there at home, wherever you're viewing, that you'll pray with us. And if there is anyone listening or tuning in tonight that has not made Jesus your Lord and Savior, certainly let me encourage you to do so. It is an urgent matter. You know, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. So many times we want to put things off. But salvation should never be one of those things that you intend to do or you want to put off to a later date. It's the most precious thing that there is. David said it's the one thing that I desire, is to live in the house of the Lord, or to dwell in the house of the Lord, or in his presence. I will assure you, it'll be a life-changing transformation. And you know what? You don't have to kneel in the church house. You don't have to come to this altar. You can make that altar right there at your house right now. If you don't know Jesus, you can ask him to come in as Lord and Savior. Repent. Repent is not just saying, I'm sorry. Repent is truly being sorry for the life that we've lived. And listen, you know, you don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell anybody. God already knows your life. He already knows what you've done. But you know what? He loves you anyway, and he wants to forgive you. So if you don't know Jesus, I don't know a better time to accept him than right now, right there as we begin to pray. And those of you that do have a relationship with the Lord and you're struggling and you're thinking, my goodness, it can't get any worse, just know that God said, I won't leave you, and I'm not going to forsake you, and his presence is going to be with you always. And certainly if you're battling sickness tonight, we're going to be praying for you as well. So you pray with us as we pray now. Dear Heavenly Father, we do love you and we do thank you. God, as David said, the one thing that I truly desire more than anything else in this life is to dwell in your presence. God, I know I couldn't make it without you. I am nothing without you. I'm just a handful of clay without your precious breath. God, and I thank you, Lord, for the Spirit that we have within us to lead us and to guide us and to abide within us each and every day. And Father, I pray right now that your holy, convicting Spirit would reach out to, Lord, those who may not have a relationship with you, those who may be unsaved. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just prick their hearts. Let them know, God, that your love and your grace is abundant and it is sufficient, God, to cover the sin stains of their life. I pray, Lord, that right now they would repent. I pray that they would open up their heart's door and ask you to come in as Lord and Savior. Father, we ask for your healing power to reach out to many of our saints, God, who are still sick, who are still struggling. Father, we pray that you would lift them up, not only touch and heal their bodies, but encourage their spirit. God, let them know that you have not forgotten them, that there is a miracle right now in the making for them. And Father, we'll give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening.